Awesome. So I realized, seeing that I got the mic, I can say certain things. I just want to welcome my parents are here this evening. So that's special for me. Many years growing up in church, my father was an elder in church as well. And I remember sitting as a little boy, my son's age now, listening to my dad preach. He didn't preach often, but I remember him preaching. I wish I had listened a little bit better in those days. But I did, even sitting with Eli now, I just had a thought of, maybe one day I'm going to be the dad sitting in the back row, listening to Eli preach. So yeah, let's hope that comes true as well.
No pressure,
no pressure, yeah. Okay, maybe we can get that first slide up here. So for those taking notes, the title of the preach is called Turning Your Eyes Upon Jesus. So if you guys have heard me before preach, you know that I like to have a few illustrations to accompany my message. Okay, so it was probably about, I think about a month or two ago, I was riding back. I'd given Rhiannon and Salette a lift to community, and we were riding back in the evening. And we were coming, what's this main road over here? Louis Ferry Drive, heading towards the Point. And just above the clouds and above the cityscape, the moon was a massive, big, beautiful, full moon. And I remember we were all sitting in the car, and there's Rian on the left side pointing to the moon. Is Rian here? There we go, Rian. You're famous now, eh? There we go. And we all sat, if you guys remember, we sat and thought, wow, that's beautiful. And it's something that we see so often, actually. But in that moment, we were driving back. Maybe we just had enjoyed community so much that everything was beautiful. But we looked at the moon and just how it stood there or hung there in the sky, and it was just incredible to see. And I shared a little bit of this in the prayer meeting, I think a few weeks ago. And God has kind of been, as He does, been talking to me about this, and I kind of you've been working in my heart about some of the things that I had seen or thinking about this picture afterwards. So maybe we can go to the next slide there. So there were two things in the moment that I realized, and there was a renewed appreciation for the moon. Okay, so don't get me wrong, we're not worshiping the moon, yeah? Okay, but there was a beauty in the creation. Of the moon, and we saw it there, and I was like, sure, like there was this wow. Like, I literally, even this weekend, I think we were driving on Friday night, and the moon, there was a full moon again, and everybody in the car said, wow, look at that beautiful moon. So there was a renewed appreciation, and then there was also the sudden realization of distractions. And I think what often happens in life is, I mean, we don't have a full moon every night, every 2 weeks, I think, yeah? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Let's go. Four weeks. Sorry. Fact check there in the back. Every 4 weeks. but the night sky, the stars, and a part of the moon is there every night. And who sees the stars and the moon every night? Okay. Okay. Good for you, Mark. But I realized in that moment, except for Mark, like me, I get distracted. And I don't go and stand out every night and look at the moon. Often we're busy, we in bed looking after the kids, or we're inside before the sun's even gone down. And I just had a moment of wow, it's such a beautiful thing that we often get so distracted by just day-to-day things in this world, and we don't sit enough outside and look up and stare up into the night sky, I think. So that was two realizations. And then also there was a third thing that I realized. And when Brittley and I were a bit younger and able, we took a trip down the Orange River in those canoes. I don't know if anybody else has done a trip down the Orange River. No? Yes? Peter, well done. Okay. And So on this trip, you sit and, or you sleep under the stars, basically, alongside the river. And the Orange River, obviously, on the border of Namibia, Cape Town, South Africa. And there's no towns for quite a few kilometers. And you sit there and you look up at the night sky, and it is just incredible. You see the Milky Way, you see the moon, you see everything, and you have this appreciation for a sky that you don't actually see in the city very often. And that, we know why that is because there's no other lights around to detract from the light that we see. So I wanted to, for those that haven't appreciated the brightness of the night sky, there's a little illustration courtesy of Eskom. I don't know if we can, so before we turn the lights off, okay, if I hold it up, it's fairly bright, am I right? Okay, is it though? Okay, sorry, in your eyes. Okay, so now, if Carmen on cue turns the lights off, all the lights off. Okay, so now, imagine now we're sitting on the edge of the Orange River and we're looking up at the night sky. It's the same light, but is it? Does it appear brighter? Is it more beautiful? Okay. Thanks, you can turn the lights on. Okay, that might seem a little bit strange for an example now, but I'll get back to that. Okay, so this got me to thinking about this analogy that I'd seen and this picture that we had seen got me thinking about how I'm looking to Jesus as my light and looking to his face. So ask the question, how do we turn our eyes upon Jesus? Okay, just as I spoke of the new appreciation we had for the face of the moon and the night sky in the natural world, its relative brightness, how light the moon was, its relative position, how it sat in the sky above us, and its relative size. Obviously, when we sit under that night sky and we look at all the stars, sometimes we feel a little bit small compared to the universe. So we need to look to God and the face of Jesus with awe and wonder, of his brightness, of his glory, of his position in relation to us, how he is above us, and his size, the fact that he is the creator of heaven and earth. There was a song written by Helen H., I think I'm getting the surname right, Lemmer, in 1922, which was over 100 years ago. And it's called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I think we can go to the next slide. So the words are, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So I thought that was a beautiful description to the picture that I had seen. So I want to tie it to a scripture as well. In Hebrews 12, 1-2, Apollos or Barnabas was writing to the Jewish Christians. And we got it there? Great. It says, therefore, since you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. In this context, he was making an analogy to running a race and a crowd. And he had just previously spoken about all the kind of the great prophets, Moses and Jeremiah and all those people. And he's saying, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he actually meaning those people, these martyrs for the faith, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And if we can go back to that. So that is, what part would that be? The things that entangle us. The things of this world. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes to Jesus. This is the turning our eyes upon Jesus and looking full in his wonderful face. For he is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. The fact that he overcame the cross, he scored its shame, gave us grace. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that is his glory. That was the joy that was set before him. Okay. So we're going to look at the first line. I think it's the next slide. So the first line is that I want to look at is in the light of his glory and grace. Okay. When it says in the light of, it is taking into consideration or in view of. Okay, so the first thing, let's look at what in the light of his glory. What is his glory? His glory is the manifestation or the display of his perfect character, love, and power. The manifestation meaning, for example, if love manifested would be, what would be an example of that? Anybody? Patience? So if I love my wife, my love manifested would be maybe her giving me a hug, or me giving her a hug at least, okay? Or if you're angry, the manifestation of angry would maybe be shouting or getting, showing your anger. Okay, but the manifestation of his glory is his perfect character, his love, and his power. It is his magnificence. It is his omnipotence. Everybody know what omnipotence is? Huh? Logan?
No,
no idea? Anybody? Thanks, Charlie. Charlie got it there. He's all powerful. His omnipresence. Okay. Emil, you know that one. He's everywhere. He's everything. Yeah. Oh, not everything. He's everywhere. Okay. And he's omniscience. Anybody on that one? Okay. Charlie again? All knowing. Thanks, Charlie. Awesome. Okay. So these are how we see his glory. Okay, and his great beauty. It is his high renown. Okay, his renown is being known. A king would have high renown. Why? Because of his position and because of how well known he is in the land. It is his honor won by him by being God and overcoming death on the cross. It is his victory over death. Okay, so we look to these attributes to see his glory. We look to these things, these characteristics of God, to see his glory. So, you might say, that's great, but how do we practically experience his glory? So, I've gotten a few things for us to do this. Okay, so the first thing, if you were doing foundations course recently, it is abiding in him, one of the first part of the ABCs. And abiding in him is having relationship with him. It's spending time in prayer and in the word. And as we do those things, as we pray to him, as we read his word, we get to know his character, we get to know who he is, and that's how we start to see his glory. Okay, it is in praise and worship. It is being in his position, in his presence, and it's the position of our hearts. Okay, when we come up here and we worship, we are looking up. It is, like I said, the moon in the sky. It is that understanding, that relative position that we have to him. That's why we lift our hands in worship to him, because we see his glory. In fellowship, in his love displayed through others. In creation, I quite enjoy this one. I like going out and hiking and being in nature, and that's very often a way that I experience God's glory when I look at creation. It is the beauty of the natural world. In Romans 1:10-21, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." So that's even saying just in how we see creation, we can see God, that God exists and that he has glory. Then, an important one is by our testimonies of his goodness and his miracles. And lastly, by his transformational work in our lives. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we see his glory, is how he changes us and how he makes us like him. Okay. The second part of that, in the light of his glory and then in his grace. So what is his grace? I think the last time I preached, I did a message on grace. And the definition was, it is his undeserved favor. It is his mercy, his reward without the expectation of payment. It is his free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. In Romans 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our justification, it is being made righteous before God, followed by our sanctification, being set apart and becoming like Christ. In Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. Thanks, Sandava. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." So this is nothing that we can do. Okay? It is an undeserved favor. "Through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." So in conclusion of that line, surely in the light of these things, in the light of his glory and his grace that we've just looked at, we cannot, as the song suggests, fall more and more in love with Jesus and stand in awe of his wonderful face. Okay, we're going to look at the next line. "And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim." In Hebrews, the scripture that we read in the beginning, Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us." These are the things of the world, of the earth. Just as I used the example of lying along the banks of the Orange River and looking up and there were no lights around, the reason that the sky looked so beautiful was because there was no light pollution, as they call it. There was no light in the atmosphere that detracted from this beautiful universe that we could see. And this light pollution is like sin. So the things of the world is firstly the sin in our lives. Okay? Another thing it can be is our material wealth. In Matthew 19:21, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. So we can see that this is a difficult thing in the earth that we can struggle with. It is our selfishness. In Matthew 16:24-25, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will find it." If you guys have come in through the front door, you would have seen on the sign, Josh Jen, I don't know if you called it a slogan, but motto is "Dying to Live." And this is where that slogan comes from. It can be the distractions. And we've seen this, we've kind of been feeling this a lot lately, is the little foxes that spoil the vine. It is the small things in our lives that that seem insignificant, but actually pull us away from looking to Jesus. The small but significant issues. And then lastly, it's the troubles in this world. It is when we start to look down and not up. These can be things like finances and difficulty with money. It can be marriages, and it can be things like health as well. In John 16, verse 33, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So that is important. We're not promised a life without troubles, but we are told to take heart, for he has already overcome the world. Okay. So how do we throw these things off? As the scripture in Hebrews says, let us throw off these things, or let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. First thing we can do, we can repent and walk in the opposite direction of sin and become sanctified by him. We learn to trust in him and not in our own understanding. But it is God who works in us to do these things. And that's an important thing. It is God who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So there's a tension between us. We look at sin, we have sinned, we repent, and we turn and we walk away from sin. So there's an action that we have as well. But then there's also a thing of God, allowing God, as we look to him, to allow him to work in us and in our lives. As he works in us, as our faith grows, and we further understand his glory, as we further understand his majesty, and we look to him and we further understand his grace, this free gift that he's given us, the things of this world seem strange. I remember talking to someone a couple of, I think it was Harry, I can't remember now where he is, but we were talking about a moment of salvation and then looking back on your life, and then maybe you guys have experienced this, but suddenly all the things that you did in your life before meeting Christ, you think, sure, that wasn't such a great idea. Well, it was quite a, I don't know why I found that entertaining, or why that was appealing. And that is beautiful, in because it is God working in us to change the way that we have seen this in our old life. That we are in this world, but we are not a part of this world. That they grow strangely unappealing, that these things are unaffecting and uncontrolling, and that they become dim and produce no light of their own in comparison to him. So this is going quicker than I thought. It's good. More time for worship. Okay. So, what now? What is our response? And I'm glad Wade brought that word a little bit earlier in worship. And we can go to the next slide. Our response is to start reflecting him. In Genesis, it says we were originally made in his image, that we are made in his image, made to resemble him, to reflect his nature and his glory. As God works in us, as we are sanctified, which means making us holy, and changed, we start to reflect his glory. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Isn't that beautiful that as we have been saved, as we accept his grace and his mercy, that he starts to work in us, we turn away from our sin and we don't walk in a different direction. We walk towards him and we look to him and to his glory. And he begins to change us, to transform us, and we begin to look more and more like him. And this is not that we can look good, but so that he is made to look good and that he is magnified. Okay, so I'm going to do a little practical exercise now, just to hopefully drive it home a little bit more. Okay, so I need somebody that can be Jesus or God. Who's the closest so far? Yeah. You want to stand on? Let's get him in the right position. Yeah. Okay. Not yet. Okay, then I need somebody that's just come to know the Lord. Not practically, but they're going to act as though they've just come to know Jesus. Yes, got the tallest guy, yeah. Nice one. Okay. Congratulations. Oh, actually, you mustn't get it. You can hold that. Okay. So you want to come stand over here for me quickly? Okay. So Yannis is now, you can turn your light on, one of the lights on there, Logan. What is that one? No. Okay. So now as we are in the world, Yannis comes and he sees, maybe he attends a church meeting, or Harry meets him on the street and starts evangelizing to him, or Robin maybe. And he sees a bit of God's glory. God reveals himself. He's a revelation of God, and that that he's a sinner, hopefully. Huh? Yeah. Okay. And then what happens is he comes to church or wherever, and he gives his life to Jesus. And he receives what? The free gift from God. There we go. Yes. Awesome. Okay. So stand a little bit further over here for me. Okay. So then what happens is the things of the world, hopefully, just as we described, grow strangely dim. Cue the lights, Carmen. Okay. Thank you, Logan. So now what's happening is, you can see we've got two modes here. He's not quite as bright as God, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now he's been given this free gift from God. Okay. He's saved, and now he's looking to Jesus now. Okay. You're looking to his glory and grace. He's starting to see that light. He's starting to see the glory, how amazing God is, his majesty, his omnipotence, his power. Charlie. Okay. And he looks to him, and then he starts to reflect a bit of Christ as God begins to work in him. Okay. So is he standing? Does he stand like this? Okay. Is it all about him? Okay. Sometimes we make it all about us. Okay. That's not what we had to do. Okay. So take it and you turn it. Turn it to God, yeah. Okay. So in this light that he's displaying, okay, who's being magnified now? Is it Yannis? Or is it Logan? Is it God? It's God. Okay. So as he begins, as his life is transformed through grace and God working in him, he starts to magnify not himself, but magnify God. Okay. Now what happens when we get saved? What does the devil like to do? What was that? Load shedding. Yeah. I should have thought about that. That was good. Okay. So who's got their phone? It's a silly question. Somebody with a phone. Okay. Can you put your spotlight on? Okay. There we go. We've got a couple. Thanks, Demi. So now as the devil is saying, you must shine that way. I say, Yannis, check out there. You see that distraction over there?
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, Jesus.
Okay. That's the right response.
The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee.
There we go. Okay.
Carry on.
Okay, so we are not a part of this world, but we are in this world. Okay, so are we promised no hardships, no trials, no temptations? Okay, these things will come in our life. So, MJ, sorry, you are now representing sin. Okay, so what happens? You get, there's a distraction and you look to MJ. Okay. Okay. But no, you want to, you carry. And Jesus is saying, God is saying, no, Yannis, look to me. Don't look to the sin. Okay. And then there's another one. Can we get another light? Stunning. Oh, yes. Oh, now you're in trouble. feels like a U2 concert now. Okay. Brittany, you can hold yours up. Okay, so maybe he has a distraction. Maybe there's a... choose my examples wisely. Yeah. A surf trip. There. You know, you got to go to 412, but there's Brittany with the surf trip. Okay.
To Indonesia.
Okay, what else could there be? Want some more lights? Kids. Big distraction, yeah. Bring your light. Okay, but we continue to look to Jesus. Okay, what can happen? Okay, he says, He gives into temptation, comes and he can take your phone. So now he's like, instead of now seeing sin and maybe repenting, turning away from it and looking to Jesus, he takes this. Now what is he doing? He's not reflecting God only now. Okay. And this thing, if we go like this, and the devil's like, look here, come here, come here. Okay, this is the things that entangled us. So he is running a race. He's running towards Jesus. He's looking to his face and his glory and his grace. And he has this thing that's going like this. He's trying to run, but I'm pulling him back and I'm holding him. Okay. Okay. Thanks, baby. You can now. Okay, so that's what happens. And that's why it's important that even when we get tempted, when we have these things of the world, that we continue to look to Jesus. Okay. I need another new convert. Who wants to be saved? Demi, thank you. Okay, Demi gets the free gift of God, of life as well. There we go. Okay, so what's happening now? She's also now magnifying God in her life. What is happening over here? What is this horizontal thing happening? This is the body. This is the believers, okay? Hopefully we have more than two. So let's get one more maybe. We've got two more lights. There we go. There we go. Okay. MJ has gone from sin to saved, yeah. Okay. Who's that in the end? Oh, Demi, okay. Okay, so now as a body, we've gone from the individual, and now we are now the body, okay? And we are, as a body, magnifying and shining light on Logan, okay, and glorifying God. And hopefully, as a body, we are representing Christ as well. Okay, what can happen now? Is Yannis can now look at MJ and think, yo, MJ has got an incredible gift for worship. I wish I could worship like MJ. And then he goes, oh, like I'm not good enough. And then maybe who's that Doe? Doe's looking at Yannis and think, wow, like he can evangelize and I struggle with that and I can't do that and he's so much better. And we can get, sometimes we can see things of the world even in the body, okay? So what he should be looking at, and this is something I realized and I had to get over as well, is that when we see Yannis and we see a gift that he has and how God is working in his life, that's not something we're jealous about. It is a beautiful thing that he is shining a light that is reflecting God. And instead of thinking, oh, I wish I could be like that. Yes, we want to have gifts. We want to have those things so that we can glorify God ourselves. But it's actually this position of, wow, that's beautiful in the way that he is representing Christ. Okay, so that is how we operate as a body. Is when we look to each other, as we love each other as a body, we are actually hoping that we are resembling Christ to each other and loving us, each other and loving Christ together. Okay, does that make sense? Okay. Looks like my lights or batteries are lasting. Okay. Let me find my notes here. Okay. And obviously, we all reflect different parts of Christ. Okay. We have, sure. We've been given different gifts. We've been given different things from God. And maybe the way Demi reflects Christ in a way and how she glorifies God is slightly different to Doe as well. So we all form this mirror, hopefully reflecting back to Christ. Okay. So then you guys can carry on shining to Logan. Thanks, Logan. There's another verse in the song. It says, his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. then go to a world that is dying his perfect salvation to tell. So his word shall not fail you, he promised. We know his promises in his word. Believe him and all will be well. Okay, that doesn't mean we're going to have an easy life, but it will be well with him. Then go to a world that is dying his perfect salvation to tell. Okay, so now what you guys can do is not just turn and just face. Sorry, you guys are going to be blinded a bit. But this is it. When we turn out, okay, and you can face the congregation. As a body now of believers, our commission is to be a light to the world. We shine our light to the world. And in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, it says, "You're a light to the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everybody in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." And that is the reason, so our Heavenly Father can be praised. So we are as lights, not of ourselves, but reflecting the light of Christ to the nations, so that all men may be drawn to him through us. Okay, so ultimately, he may be glorified. Thank you, guys.